Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10. The pass is tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has got 22 to Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? It is Friday. Welcome to Off the Bench. Good to have you guys listening to us. We appreciate it. What's up, Raja? What are you looking at me for? A little bit like sideways, early.
Well, I hear that intro audio like every day we're in here.
Uh-huh.
And I would have never yelled that at anybody. He can't guard me. Like that just, everybody could guard me. Like what? I just stood there and shot jump shots.
That was from our rehearsal period. I don't even, were you talking about
No,
you?
I wasn't. Right. But it just sounds like it when the music comes.
Sounds
on,
really
like.
Deep when we go there.
It sounds really good.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for checking us out. We got a huge show lined up. The NBA All-Star teams were picked. That was going to be a controversy. You knew it. There are some eyebrow-raising selections in that one. The XFL is back. I think that's fantastic for football. Tiger is back as well. But first, I got to ask Hannah something. Our girl Hanno Stopchuk joins us. So you were off coffee?
I was off coffee.
How long did it last?
Like Monday to today. I went. Y'all, hold on. Hold the phone. I get a little bit of credit here, okay? Because I drink coffee every day. And I was like, I don't really want to rely on something. So I stopped. Was totally fine. Had a little bit of a headache yesterday.
Man.
For 4 days.
Yeah, for 4 days. But I only slept like 3 hours last night. So this morning I woke up and I was like, you know what? I deserve
so
this.
You need it.
So,
need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a coffee. We all see the thing. I don't. We come in here early, like we're at 6:30 a.m. to get this out for people. So hopefully you can listen to it on your commute. You can have it all day long. We're all in here with big jugs of coffee.
Oh.
I'm thinking about for Lent coming up. I'm not even Catholic, but it's like an opportunity to say, all right, I'm going to give up something for 40 days. I don't know. I might got coffee is
coffee?
One thing I've considered giving up. 40 days. That's a long time.
Dude. We should really talk about this because I could go in on some like serious Lent things.
Yeah.
Like giving up sugar is a good one.
That is a good one. Carbs.
Oh my God, that's too long.
They're essentially sugar. They break down into sugar.
Yeah, but that's like bread.
I know. It's tough.
Have you ever seen the Oprah commercial? I love bread. That's how I feel.
All right, we'll have to do that, a special Lent episode coming up in February. All right, Debo's got a new segment for us. Really creative, super creative. Take it or leave it. Buy or sell. Sound familiar? There's another one that's on ESPN. We won't go there. All right, so let's get to it. NBA All-Star teams were picked. We did ours the other day, and we all assumed some picks would not happen, and we couldn't have been more wrong. Here's LeBron talking about it.
I'm gonna tell you this, Ernie. This thing should have been televised. And when me and Steph was doing the draft, we started laughing very hard at one point. I'm not even going to tell you what part it was, but we started laughing very hard at one point. It definitely should have been televised, that's for sure.
So take it or leave it. This will be the most exciting, intriguing All-Star game since MJ's goodbye in 2003. Take it or leave it.
I can't recall all the All-Star games right now, but it's got a chance to be really good.
Right.
Like with those lineups. First of all, it sounded like a remix. I thought that was like a song when he came on air. But the way it sounded like it. But no, with that lineup, Curry's lineup is – But Team LeBron is.
That's what I thought.
That is dope. You're talking Kyrie, the two Pelicans, Durant, Westbrook. I mean, you could stop there and I'm good, but you, Porzingis, oh my God.
Steph got worked. What was he thinking in this meeting?
Loyalty.
Yeah. that's what it was?
Yeah, loyalty, trying to get those Golden State cats. But I imagine KD had to be the first pick, so he had he couldn't get KD. Otherwise, it would.
They didn't release the order, did they?
No, but
that's the
KD
other thing they
the
need
pick.
To. Of course, he was the first pick in ours. For every mock one that they did, he was the first pick in every single one. They really do need. I think it's funny that LeBron comes out now and says, "Why weren't you doing this before?" Because they probably could have thrown something together if LeBron had been vocal.
Apparently,
a week ago.
They couldn't agree with the NBA Players Association. Not all the players could come to a consensus. LeBron wanted it on TV. Apparently,
he did from the get-go. Now, the laughing moment when him and Steph are laughing. Do you think that's when everybody's assuming it's when he picked Kyrie?
When he picked Kyrie, yeah.
Do you think there's anybody else that he's laughing? Is it Russ? Could have been Russ playing with KD.
It could have been one of those two. It could have been him picking Kyrie, or I wonder where Kyrie went.
Right.
I'd really like to know that, right? Because
did they have to pick the starters first?
He took Durant.
Like we did. That's what I thought. They had to pick the starters first. So maybe Kyrie was the last on the board,
I think.
But how does Steph's squad get worked that bad? Because I think there is a pretty big discrepancy.
Well, according to our poll, one of your squads got worked when we picked. Like, that's just bound to happen.
My squad got worked.
Your team got worked.
A lot of it, it's kind of like who gets the first pick.
I think Kyrie was LeBron's second pick.
I think he was, too.
It went Curry picked Harden and then got the following pick in the snake form and went Antetokounmpo. And then LeBron went Kyrie.
But we'll never know.
We didn't
which
do
the
snake
worst.
Format
yeah,
here.
We'll never know.
No, we didn't do that.
LeBron put out his handwritten draft on Instagram.
Right.
He put out, now, that does not the order?
That was alphabetical.
Oh,
we'll get to that a little later
man,
with him.
Man, that's so weak. He should have done it. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think the only way it'll matter is if they care. And it's the same thing with the Pro Bowl this weekend. Like, nobody cares about winning. If they care about playing and actually winning the game, I think it'll be entertaining if you get some of these things. Do you think that – so this is a question I wanted to ask you because I was thinking about this the other day. Because we all from the outside, we look at this relationship between Kyrie and Cleveland and LeBron.
Right.
And we're like, man, that must be so awkward. They must hate each other so much. Do you think it's not that bad? Do you think it's overblown by the media?
I think it's overblown by the media and the fans, but I do think there's something there, right? Like, it's probably not, you know, like, it's not as bad as people think, but it is awkward. I would say that's an awkward situation. I heard from people with knowledge of the situation that like, Kyrie wanted his own show. He did not like the fact that – well, recently – let me backtrack. Recently, it's been speculated that it was because David Griffin got fired and there was a close relationship between Griffin and you know, Kyrie and Jeff Wexler, and that's why he wanted to go. But I've heard that it really did have to do with it being LeBron's show and LeBron running it LeBron's way and Kyrie wanting to grow into that role of his own. So I know LeBron didn't want him to be traded, but I think that was like, listen, we don't have to trade him necessarily. We have control. Let's not give up an asset more so than it was like, I love Kyrie, don't trade Kyrie. So I think there is some animosity, a little bit of awkwardness between them. I don't know that it's that they hate each other, but I do think it's awkward.
It's probably like a girlfriend that you run into that you had a pretty good relationship
with,
and it might have ended ugly, and it might be weird. But I feel like on an All-Star weekend, an All-Star game, it'll be fine. Like, I don't think it's gonna be they're not gonna talk to each other during the, you know, in the festivities.
You know, at the end of
the
day,
they might not hang out at the club,
right?
But they might.
They'll be in the same club,
right?
Like, they could. Well, there are a lot of parties All-Star weekend, so they could be anywhere. But what people miss about these guys is, like, it's not all for TV. Like, there's some genuine feelings there between, you know, like Russ and KD and stuff. That's real stuff. But at the end of the day, this is a really small fraternity. It's a really small brotherhood. And so, you know, there are guys that don't like each other, but a lot of times stuff like that is overblown in the media and guys are cool. Like, we understand. Like, we all know each other's families, wives, kids. It's a really, really small fraternity.
Did you have a problem? It was reported that Kyrie was willing to have surgery so that the Cavs had to trade him, right? If the Cavs didn't trade him, he said he was going to have surgery and basically shut down that season.
Did I have a problem with it?
Yeah.
No.
Not at all?
Nope. Because I'll tell you, I tore my wrist up in Charlotte. It was my contract year, and I tried to play through it, and I couldn't. I had a torn scapula lunate. My wrist just felt like it was, like, floating all over the place. And I had a conversation with the general manager, and the coach was Larry Brown, about the surgery, and they really wanted me to play. Like, play through it. You can have surgery in the offseason. I couldn't really afford to do that. I was on a contract year. Plus, I couldn't play because I was that guy. I played through anything. I couldn't play. So I elected to have the surgery, and they traded me immediately. Like, I wasn't going to be of use to them that year, so they shipped me off to Golden State. No harm, no foul. And I felt bad. But at the end of the day, it was their right to do it. I wasn't going to help them. Business was business. So on the flip side of that, I got no beef with a dude saying he's going to have his surgery if you don't trade him.
But just out of spite, obviously, he's okay enough to play. He's playing at almost an MVP level.
But he needs
the
surgery, right? Like, he's going to have the surgery.
I don't know. It's been a year.
No, it's been like he's going to have it at some point. Like, they're lingering effects. Like, he's got day-to-day pain. So, for me, this is one of those situations. Like, yeah, my pain may have been worse than his. But the point was I could have elected to play through that and not have the surgery, right? I had to have it, though. Like, I needed the surgery. So, I chose to have it. They chose to ship me out because it's not what they wanted me to do. right? So that's from, like, as a player getting traded, that sucked, but it was their right to do it.
I don't have any problems because players have so little leverage in a lot of situations. If you use something to create leverage for yourself, which is what Kyrie did, I think it sucks for him that it got out, like that move got out. Because you see stuff happen all the time.
Sure.
Where players will do things like this to try to get some leverage, and they never get it.
I was only in the front office 1 year, and so it wasn't enough to like flip me from player to executive in terms of the way the prism through which I see things. I had Robert Sarver sit down with me once. I was asking for an extension in Phoenix. Things were rolling. I was playing well, having the best years of my life. He brought me in, set out a nice spread at lunch, all nice, asking about my family. He said, "Hey, I hear you guys want an extension." Steve Kerr there. I was like, And he was like, "Yeah, do you deserve an extension?" "Yes." "Am I going to give you one?" "No." I was like, "Okay." He was like, "Do you want to know why?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Because I don't have to." And that was his stance. I was locked up for another 2 years. He didn't have to do anything. He owed me nothing. But that's the stance that franchises take towards players. So when players use their leverage, to your point, to dictate an outcome, I've got no beef. I applaud it.
All right, take it or leave it. Let's move on. Your boy Russell Westbrook. We're not doing his outfit last night. We're doing the All-Star Unis.
We're
doing both.
Let's do both.
All right, so the All-Star Unis. I haven't seen the All-Star Unis. Are they good?
I love them.
You do? You didn't even see them for 2 seconds.
No, I have seen those. I didn't know that they were the All-Star Unis, though.
Yeah, I've seen those before, too.
Jordan Brand.
And just with your logo on a black.
At Canellan Bell on Twitter.
At Canellan Bell on Twitter. Check them out so you can maybe prep for the segment unlike we did. All right, what about your boy Russ's outfit walking into the arena last night?
That yellow.
Yellow, torn up, ripped apart.
What say you, Hannah?
It's so ugly. I don't care. I don't care like who you are, what you look like. Don't do that.
He definitely goes over the line. Like, he crosses it. I will say this. If you've got a six pack like he does.
Yeah, but why do it? Like, that's like
I would probably do it too.
Yeah, but like, right? It's like under boob.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, it's like weird.
It was weird.
It was.
Nobody wants to see that. No. It's just like too much.
Yeah. I mean, but that's Russ's brand. That's he's staying on brand. He always goes too
much. He's always too much. Yeah.
Just like a little bit less. Right. A little bit less.
All right. So we're split on that one. All right. Let's move on. There was big news in football, not the NFL, not in college football, but the XFL.
This is the XFL.
This is our moment, our story to tell. This is history begun. This is the XFL.
I don't know how I feel about the rap at the end there. So we have the old XFL sound there, and then the new announcement that came out yesterday is Vince McMahon is bringing back the XFL. There was a 30 for 30 on it recently, which was really popular. Vince McMahon said the minute the old one shut down, he knew he regretted it. He wanted to do it again now that he's had his time. Take it or leave it. The XFL will succeed this time around.
Leave it.
Really? You don't think it will?
No, dude. What other football league other than the NFL has succeeded ever? Other than like Canadian
Arena
football?
Has been around forever.
Arena's got two teams in it.
They might
currently
have four.
How many teams? They have four teams.
Philly the champs.
The Philly.
That's right. The soul.
Do you think now is the time, the setting for another league to succeed?
Yes.
What? Because you're just gonna piggyback off of all the things that are happening with the NFL. Is that
yes?
Like
and college. So here's why I think it has a chance. One, I think Vince McMahon is a very shrewd businessman. Like, mm-hmm. Love him or like, you know, hate him, whatever you think about him. I think he's coming in at the right time. I think the 2 year runway that they're going to have before it starts up, because he even talked about it being too rushed together last time.
Right.
So the product on the field was bad. I think that will help. The other thing that I think is being overlooked in this is the NCAA problem right now that they are not paying players. If they go after high school players, freshmen, sophomores, players who can't get to the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa just had a incredible game. If they could draft him and put him on the Birmingham franchise as their quarterback, that'd be sensational. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but what kind of money are they going to be giving these kids?
I think that's a great dilemma, and I can't wait to see.
Well, I don't. All right, I can't argue that there are ways that this team could. I mean, this league could carve out some interest, right? And some storylines and stuff like that. But I just think overall, when you're dealing with MBAs and NFLs, like, yeah, they could be a CBA, But nobody watches the CBA.
Like what about the Summer League? The Summer League is
yeah, but the Summer League isn't. The G League is owned by the NBA. And the Summer League are just NBA teams playing in the summer. So, like, all of those minor leagues of basketball, they existed. I played in them. Like,
Big
I played
Three?
In,
what? There yeah. was some interest oh, yeah, in the Big Three this summer. That got a TV deal.
It did.
It's not the same. They're older players, but.
I venture to say, like, I watched it once. The second time I watched a quarter of it, and then I never went back.
Which so, probably mirrors their ratings.
Right. I played in Yakima, Washington. Stadium, like support from the local community. We won a championship. It was great. But like there was no longevity in that. Like it lasted for maybe 10 years, but you can't survive like in when you're competing with the NBA. And I'm going to say the same thing about the XFL. And like, it's just my opinion on it. You're not going to get enough talent. Like, you're not going to get enough of those Tua Tagovailoas or like, but he's got rules that like guys like Johnny Manziel and stuff can't even compete because he's got these rules in place with no criminal record. Like, I just don't see it happening.
So I was expecting the exact opposite of what he announced. Mm-hmm. I thought he would say it was going to be, because the old XFL, it was, we're going to go out there. We're going to go back to football. It's a rough game. He gave the complete opposite message.
Right.
And I thought he would have said, we're going to take all criminals. Like, we want it to be right. Like W. We're going to take everybody. And he was very much no. He said, no political stances. You're going to stand for the anthem. You're not going to have a criminal record. The safety. He said, we're going to be a safer game.
Which Why? You're not going to play football?
Well, no, that's what I thought.
You play without helmets?
Now, he said, we're still going to be football, but we're going to do, like, I don't know, are they going to have a kickoff?
Danny, just imagine concussion protocol. It's going to be.
Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be even safer than the NFL?
Yeah.
Are they, if you get hit in the head, are you done? That's what surprises me. I did not think that was going to be Vince McMahon's football at all. To say the take it or leave it, I think it all, like, they're not going to take down the NFL.
Right.
I don't think that. But I think they could survive. And if they make it 10 years, I think that's a huge success.
That's a huge
success.
If
they get that long. And yeah. I think they will. But I think the fact that college players are more willing now than ever to look for alternatives, that they want to get paid sooner, I think that could be a great timing for the XFL to say, hey, you guys are looking for somewhere to play to get paid? Come play with us for a year.
The internet was around back then, but I think the old XFL could succeed in this age of the internet with Twitter and Instagram clips the way it could just go viral back then, but now the safer, gimmick-free XFL.
Did he say anything about the jerseys? Because everybody, of course, remembers He Hate Me.
Right.
Yeah. Your boy Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty, the quarterback from the New York Giants, played at Kentucky.
Yeah.
He had a tweet that like went viral because he said he sent out, as every ex-player did, said, hey, Vince McMahon, at me if you want me to play.
Right.
And then he had hashtag He Ate Me.
He ate me.
Which was pretty funny. Because Lorenzen was 300 pounds.
He's a big old boy. Yeah.
He's 500 pounds now.
Is he really?
There was a Facebook show on him talking about, like, he has a problem. Like, it's a sad story. Like, he's trying to lose some of his weight. But I thought that was hilarious. Like, he came out there.
Me.
Your boy Debo came up with one that was SEC Hate Me for me. That would be pretty good. So we need some suggestions for Rajah's name, XFL name.
You getting
name
the throwing arm ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
If Vince McMahon calls,
I actually felt a little bit.
What do you say?
I would play. I actually felt bad because there were some lists out there of players who now wasn't even mentioned. Like, I'm beyond the X player. I'm the XX player.
What do you imagine, like, a high-end salary to be? Like, what would you imagine?
I would imagine it's 100 grand. Like, it's just around, like, I don't know. For 10 games, it's probably 10 grand, which, you know, 10 games, 10 grand a game.
So you're saying to a kid like Tua, I'm trying to wrap my mind, like, come out of school
zero.
For 100 grand. Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, and some of these kids need the money. That's why they end up turning pro early, and a lot of times they're not going to be first rounders. They're going to be third, fourth, fifth rounders. And they make bad decisions.
Listen to this. Back in 2001, they had standardized salaries. Quarterbacks earned $5,000 per week. Kickers earned $3,500. All other uniform players earned $4,500 per week.
So, the thing I think where they could really like to do things differently is incentivize the games. Maybe it's five.
They did give bonuses.
Yeah, so give the bonus, the winning quarter, not the quarter. You'd have to do everybody the same. You have to treat everybody the same. That can't all be quarterbacks, but maybe double their salary.
Right.
You know, give them, instead of five, give them 10 if they win. That'd be huge. Like, players would love that.
I'm all for more jobs. Like,
yeah.
I think
yeah,
that's
me
great.
Too. I think
more jobs in general.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll watch.
The one thing, timing-wise, I'm with you because they are going to be competing against the heat of the NBA.
Yeah.
Why didn't they go summer? Because summer is the time when people start dying for the NFL. They want football. They're begging for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They could have started. Yeah.
Is there a summer sport?
Baseball.
Yeah. But even started.
Don't be so mean about baseball. I love baseball season.
Wait, don't they play something with this little, like, it's like a...
You're not a baseball fan at all?
No.
Baseball with
Seriously?
Bell. Yeah. Our favorite segment.
All right, one more take it or leave it.
Man,
Tiger
I got so
Woods.
Offended.
I saw your eyes perk up when you saw the highlight playing in here in studio of Tiger out there at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Tiger will finish under par for the tournament. Take it or leave it.
Take it. He's a stroke better on the north course than he is on the south course.
Let me listen to him before I make a decision.
Well, I got to hit my irons a little bit better than I did today. I know I didn't hit them very close. I didn't give myself a lot of looks. And then, you know, it's hard to you know, make a lot of birdies when you're not giving yourself any looks. And I didn't do that today. So tomorrow, hopefully drive a little bit better, hit my irons obviously a lot closer, and we got the better of the two greens tomorrow. So we'll see what happens.
He's tied for 84th after the first round. He's even par. I'll take it. I say he gets a couple under.
You say three under?
I hope he does. I'd love to see him in the mix.
I'd like to see
rooting
too.
For him too. The only problem is all the changes. This guy's talking about it. I just want to see him talking about a good round.
I know. I don't like Tiger, but I hope he does well.
She hates greatness. That's the we figured it out.
Y'all,
you hate
I have a certain bone to pick with Tiger Woods. I talk about this all the time with Bill Ryder.
What?
He is like totally. I'm from Jupiter, Florida. Yeah. He has taken over Jupiter, Florida in like a bad way.
Why?
And I just don't like
the
it.
The Woods
like,
restaurant?
I want him out.
You
Woods? No. He's like the living Lorax. He tore down the actual woods to build a restaurant called The Woods.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, he tore down like
everybody's
like actual
tearing
forest
down
land?
Stuff. Everybody's Jupiter's exploding. Everybody's tearing down stuff.
Yeah, and it's
to
because
build.
Of like
oh, it's
people
all Tiger's
like Tiger
fault?
Woods. No,
oh,
I'm so
God.
Serious. All the traffic is
oh,
his fault.
Jeez,
it's all Tiger Woods' fault.
He doesn't like Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is a different entity. Like he's just a true
How can he
mother
not
effer.
Like all these
he's just a true. Damn, did you watch? Hannah. Did you see any of the round yesterday?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I watched his last few holes. I was like, I saw him hit a 3-wood and he couldn't keep it in the fairway. I was like,
wait, but I do I want Tiger to do well. I think everything's more entertaining when Tiger's involved.
Totally.
I saw him early. He was controlling his driver.
Yeah, his putting was the problem yesterday.
Right, but his short irons were like, he was short-sighted a lot, left himself like some tough up and downs, and just missed with those mid-irons, those mid to shorts. I didn't think it was that far off. He didn't look, you know when you've seen him in the past and he just looks like he's like, flabbergasted. He has no idea what's going on out there, and he can't find it.
Right.
He looked okay.
Better than that.
Yeah.
He didn't withdraw.
He did not withdraw. He did not shut it down. There.
All right, let's get to our guest. We were supposed to have him on the other day, but our boy Fred Siegel from Old Takes Exposed dissed us. All right, for our guest this week, we got Fred Siegel from Old Takes Exposed. You can follow him on Twitter at Old Takes Exposed. He runs Freezing Cold Takes. It's a website, too. It's incredible what he does. He keeps media members in check. For all the hot takes that they make, he exposes them for the ones that are awful, like one I had in Alabama, Georgia. But I'm kind of upset with him because he outed me not only on Twitter, but on my nemesis show on Paul Feinbaum. Listen to what he said about me.
During the national championship game, he had the gun jumping trifecta. He jumped the gun three separate times during the game. Let's start with the first one. Georgia took a 13-0 lead on the Nicole Hardman touchdown run in the second quarter, and Danny Cannell tweeted this, ball game. Danny Cannell tweeted this, nothing like bailing on the QB who got you there, SMH.
Oh, my goodness.
Jalen Hurts has thrown one INT in 246 attempts this year, but let's go with the true freshman who's never played meaningful minutes.
That's why Danny Cannell is Danny Cannell.
No way.
All right. That's so you unreal. Had to go on Feinbaum, my arch nemesis, and just give him ammo like that. Now, there are a couple things I could respond with. One, ball game. You don't know who you're talking about. Like, it wasn't for sure.
We just have a ball game. Right, we have a ball game.
Exactly. We have the time stamp to say. Ball game was said. It's the specific time that Georgia went up 13-0 right before the end of the half.
Now, let me ask you something. If I sent you screen grabs from my cell phone where I texted two different people at halftime and said they need to play Tua Tagovailoa if they want to have a chance, would that be a good take?
No, it would be terrible. It looked like a fraud.
But it was what I was thinking the same thing. That's why, like, Saban has been praise for making this move. I think it was like a typical fan move. I think fans in the stands were like, oh, they got to bench the starter. They got to put in Tua. And if you look at the game, the way it unfolded, it could have easily gone either way with Tua Tagovailoa, because he had a couple bad. There was a pick out of the back of the end zone. One of his touchdowns, he wasn't even looking at the dude. But I'm not going to make up for that tweet, am I?
Well, no. Well, the thing about it is it just appeared that they weren't doing anything with it was a desperation move, but it was the right desperation move, it looked like, that they weren't doing anything with Hurts. It didn't look like they were doing anything with him. So it's like, you got to do something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
So, Fred, hey, this is Raja. I'm not on Twitter, like, and I catch a lot of flack here in the studio for not being on. But like, how did you become this cold take exposing guy on Twitter? Like, what was the inception of that? Was there a moment? Did something spark that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of building up in myself, like, as I use Twitter throughout the years. I've always used it since maybe 2009, 2010 to get my information, and I just notice journalists, you know, on their high horse a lot, and you start to get annoyed a little bit. Not like hate, but you just annoyed at, like, reporters and analysts getting on their high horse and saying, I got this right, I got this right. Just like I predicted 5 days ago, I got this right. And then you just remember all the things they say that they got wrong. And I just decided, well, I was going to start something and post everything they get wrong. And I didn't expect it to turn out like this.
Right.
But it was just supposed to be something like to be a troll and mess with them. I was just going to do it as a hobby. I still kind of do, but it blew up. And Danny was one of the ones who helped it blow it up that day. You put it on Mike and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
My feed went up, skyrocketed after that.
I would have never done it hadn't I known you were a Gator. Like, if you were a Florida, I would have never given you that publicity that you had there. I think here's what I think is why it's exploded, is I think every person that's on Twitter or every person that's followed sports media for the past 50 years hate when guys only take credit for making the right call and they try to pump themselves and they never say I was wrong. And I think that's like where that's worth, and that's where I think media members could do a better job, is saying, yeah, I was wrong.
Yeah, that, and I think that there's been some awareness to that. I brought some awareness to that. If I'm going to take credit for something, I brought some awareness that there are media members who have become a lot better at when something happens, when they get something wrong, they immediately admit it. I think they're just waiting for me to hit them with the zinger and they kind of want to counteract it before, but they've kind of taken themselves a little less seriously. And some of them have, some just have no tolerance for it. But yeah, I think that fans themselves remember everything that a media member says about their team. So if you said something about the Gators like 2 years ago, they're never going to be good. Every Gator fan remembers that the second the Gators win some sort of big game, they're going to throw it back at your face. That's where they sent it to me.
That's fantastic. So you don't actually, like, I was gonna say, I'm sorry, Hannah. You don't actually have the time to sit there and go through every media personality. You just get people now sending you
tattletales.
They're telling on them, right? And then you give them the business. That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, now everything from everyone, everywhere about every sport.
So
sometimes I have to, like, say, I mean, I can't post this. No one really even knows what this is about. It's about tennis, like a small tournament, you know?
So Danny's been trying to, like, adopt a new Twitter personality. We talked about our goals in 2018, and one of them for Danny was to just be more likable on Twitter in 2018. Do you think he's succeeding at this at all?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen people really kind of retweeting his stuff and getting mad at him recently.
Well, that's good.
You know, I'm kind of lukewarm about this new idea. I mean, I really enjoy Danny's anti-SEC shtick.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not a shtick. It's I exposed the truth.
You exposed the truth, but here's, I listened to your pod with Ryan. When you were talking about it, I tend to agree with him. Here's the thing. I think that you push it. Okay. You know how some people like Skip Bayless and
instantly will find something about LeBron, like during a game.
Yes.
And post it. When some of it's unnecessary, if you're analyzing a game, you don't really need to say everything.
Right.
I think you find everything wrong with the SEC and post it every time.
Well, because you know what? I am the balance. Like, I'm not the SEC hater. I'm the balance. Because if you follow their, like, SEC network handle, or if you follow any of their fans or even their players, they're always promoting the conference. So I just like to remind people of the other side and the other conferences that are out there.
You're a conference vigilante? Like,
yes.
You're standing up for your justice?
Yes,
you're
the little people.
Justice. Yes.
For the little people.
Well, you have a good audience for that.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So my girl Hannah just asked us about something for me. So how does she go about boosting her Twitter presence? She's been looking to amp up her Twitter volume. How does she go about doing that? Should she give hotter takes during games?
I don't tweet anything good.
Well, that's your problem then, right?
It's hard. It's much harder for someone like you, Hannah, to be – just themselves, mm-hmm. and get a huge following on Twitter. I mean, you look at Danny, who played, was on ESPN College Football, talks about college football, has a higher profile. A lot of people follow for that reason alone. If you don't have something attached to you, it's a little bit harder. So, but I mean, you just have to be unique, or you have to know a lot about something.
Right.
Raja's been saying he's never going to open a Twitter account. Should he or shouldn't he?
Well, I mean, if you want something else to promote your pod, it'd be
yeah, why not?
Right.
Why not?
I have no hot takes.
Otherwise, it's up to him. I think with you already have a profile. I mean, you're already known. You already have contacts. You already
people weren't
people.
Born.
You play in the NBA. You fought with Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's different. If someone coming into the business, I would certainly recommend they do it.
Right.
But it depends. I mean, I don't know if you need to meet as many people as someone coming into the – you can make great contacts through Twitter.
He's already got all the contacts. See, I think the way that Raja would succeed on Twitter, if he's just – because he talked about when he clotheslined Kobe, he just went in this dark place and, like, he blacked out. That's the guy that needs to tweet
every day.
That is so true.
Go to that blacked out spot where you were so angry.
Kobe's probably cool enough now you could tweet with him about it.
That's funny. Or I could tweet that where I was last night when I got kicked out of the high school game. I could tweet like that guy tweet.
Yes. He definitely. Yeah. Who was so of all the people, and I'm sure you get asked this a lot, who is the worst? Like, who gets the maddest? And is there anybody that still gets mad at you after you've exposed them? I guess they would block you, right? That's the way to judge.
Yeah, I get blocked. It's a lot less of a low profile. It's a lot less of the local guys. A lot more of the local guys than the big guys. I think people have started to really understand the magnitude of what happens if you get mad.
Right.
It means I retweet it, and everybody converges on them, and they look really bad. Because it makes them look real petty. But local guys, there's one guy from Cleveland who blocks any single person who mentions me. Or
any
person who favorites my tweet that is references him. So he has – it's just a huge, huge list of people.
So is that a bigger compliment, though? Like, the blocking, is that a bigger compliment and a bigger achievement? Or is, like, getting mentioned and saluted for what you do, like
– Yeah, I look at it as it just raises my profile. that's all it does. I don't necessarily get, like, it's a trophy or anything when the person blocks me. But I say it once. I punch back once. I don't drag it out, but I will post blocked by this guy for posting this tweet. Everybody goes after them.
What do you do for the Super Bowl? Like, it's the biggest event of the year. Like, how do you prep for that running the account? Or do you do anything differently than you normally do?
Oh, it's a lot of in-game stuff. Like, last year in the Super Bowl was the ultimate.
Yes.
And what helped me prepare for it? I had experience with the national championship game, which was a month before, because Alabama went up 14-0, and they were an unbeatable team at that time. Everyone thought they were unbeatable. So that was it. That was the game. And they lost the game. And I understood that when something happens where there's a big lead, you automatically just start taking down all the takes. And it worked. I had everything for when they were at some point I was preparing all these things to post when the Falcons won. And that may have been the third quarter. But as it started inching towards, you kind of figured out what was going to happen. It just seemed like it was doom, impending doom for the Falcons. That's when I stopped doing that. Started preparing all this stuff for when the Patriots won. And they won, and it was perfect. It was perfect timing.
All right.
But it's a lot of, like this year, I'm starting to prep for more things at the beginning of the game. So it starts off real slow sometimes. So let's say Chris Hogan catches a touchdown. I want to have something ready to go where it says, you know, someone talking about how it was okay that the Bills let him go.
All right, so we got Fred Siegel from Old Takes Exposed. You can follow him on Twitter, at Old Takes Exposed, joining us on Off the Bench. So we ought to do something called Rate the Take. So we've got the takes on here. So we'll give you an example from Hannah, who's trying to boost her Twitter following. So she had a take.
This
you
got
to
so
tell
bad.
Us how good or bad this one is.
Okay,
Fred.
This was like, this doesn't say this.
Do you want to read
was...
it? No. You can't give details.
No, the date? I can give the date.
Okay.
This was January 2016,
okay.
Right?
So she said, nothing sweeter than watching Matt Lauer and Katie Couric celebrate his 20 years with the Today Show this morning.
No.
That doesn't age well. I don't know what the criteria is.
Right.
The time of the take, first of all, it's a pretty bland. I don't even know if it's a take.
Okay. Listen, I am
like
a morning show expert. I'm obsessed with it. So I just couldn't help it.
Okay.
I love Katie Couric and Matt Lauer. That was like a reunion. I just had to say something about it, and I didn't delete it. Okay.
All right.
You don't have to delete it. I mean, I don't think it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I don't
you never
think
deleted.
People. You can't assume what's gonna what happened to Matt Lauer is gonna happen. There's no way you could say that like without knowing him,
right?
Personally,
and you can't ever delete a take.
It's a funny one, but in terms of embarrassment level, it shouldn't be that embarrassing.
Okay.
All right. How's this one from me? This is December 29th, 2015. Such a dumb move by the Eagles. That was when they fired Chip Kelly. And you actually responded, do not delete this.
Oh, yeah. I was responding to everyone. At that time, I was responding to everybody, hoping to get somebody to notice me.
I don't think it was an awful take. We never know what could have happened. They might be in the same spot.
No, I think it's worse than him.
Right. So as it's unfolded, it's
I mean, you're blatantly saying it was a bad move to fire Chip Kelly. It turned out not to be a bad move. That's a cold take.
That's true.
A straight-up cold take.
All right, one more for you. Now, how does this one fall into a category? Because this is from December 9th, 2012, and this is from our producer, Eric. Rumors confirmed Foles is the future. Now this was the season before. This was before the season when he went 27-2, which he was right about that season. But how does that fall in the rating of takes? Because he wasn't the future necessarily.
I mean that's a tough one because there is. It was the year before he had 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So at that point, it's a cold take. He wasn't the future, but the following year, he could have been. He could have waved that. He could have doubled down on that and posted it again.
Yeah.
And said he was right.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He
that's probably smart.
Yeah.
That would have been definitely.
Should have went with immediate future.
The future is now. The future is 2018.
Oh, man.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
man, this doesn't count as the future.
All right, so I got one other question. It's off the beaten path, but rumor is you were at Florida when my sister played at Florida.
Yes, I watched her play.
Did
she
you really?
Great point guard.
She was a tough little point guard.
Like, there was a really big – I just don't – I remember her.
Yeah.
She was – I think she was – she's short for even for –
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah, tiny.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And she was really good. There was a big – there was a center.
Yeah, it would have been
– She was really big.
Tomorrow.
Like big, she was like Shaquille O'Neal, like level big compared to the other players.
Yeah, I forgot.
I remember
her name.
That.
All right. Well, you make sure in 2018 you keep people in check, you keep them honest, and thanks for hopping on with us, Fred. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, let's get to here's what's happening with Hannah.
All right, so you have a 37-year-old under center and the number two overall pick. The assumption is that you will go with the quarterback. But not so fast for the New York Football Giants. New GM David Gettleman said, if you take a guy, just to take a guy, especially at the quarterback position, and he fails, you set yourself back 5 years. There are teams in what I call quarterback hell. So no guarantees of two.
I think this is him kind of playing the game a little bit, trying not to show his hand, what he's going to do. But ultimately, you look at Eli Manning, he's getting up there in age. His play has deteriorated. I think they do have to take a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's time for Baseball with Bell.
Yeah!
All right, well, Milwaukee making moves. Free agent outfielder Lorenzo Cain, no longer a free agent after reaching a 5-year, $80 million agreement with the Brewers. The biggest deal this offseason. And the Brew Crew also added outfielder Christian Yelich from the Marlins in exchange for four prospects, further gutting Miami.
I think the news, though, is
that Jeter keeps stripping down.
No,
the
that, that is the news. And Miami was just like, he wrote a letter, like, well, not a letter, but it was like he wrote to the Miami fans and apologized. Like, I just feel bad for Miami. We got murdered on that damn stadium.
Everyone's gone. Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Zuna, D. Gordon. Like, literally everybody's gone.
Don't say it.
I think it's smart. He's ripping the Band-Aid. Yeah. It's going to hurt right away, and people are not going to like him, but he's building for the long run.
Time will tell.
It's sad. It's sad for the city of Miami.
But I think it's the smart thing
Yelich
to do.
Yelich was going to be the superstar, too. Anyways, good move by Yelich, though, I will say. All right, so no trades yet for the Cavs, but they are making a change to their starting lineup. Jay Crowder to the bench. Tristan Thompson in at center. Kevin Love shifted to power forward. Cleveland 4-10 in their last 14 games, yet still third in the East.
This is big only because philosophically, they've thought that small ball was going to get it done for them, and they did that in an effort to match up with Golden State in the Western Conference, mm-hmm. and this is just the opposite of that. This is going big again, realizing that you can't protect the rim, you're giving up way too many points, and I mean, it's almost a concession to a degree that you're not going to be able to match up with Golden State no matter what. So, like, it doesn't scream anything on the surface, but if you look at the reasons why they did this, it's a big deal.
All right, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Russell Westbrook, a guy with a grudge. He thought he was picked last in the All-Star draft. Westbrook actually came last alphabetically. Regardless, he took that perceived snub and turned it into a 46-point effort in a 121-112 Thunder victory over the Wizards on Thursday, a season high for us.
Bro, I love it.
I love him.
I do, too.
I do. Bro, anything you can use to get fired up, I love it.
And he's always fired up. He's always talking. He's calling people out left and right. He's the most exciting player to watch, too, because he's one of the guys that actually gives a crap.
Just leave that sweater at home.
My kids love this word savage.
Oh,
they
yeah.
love it. And I said to him yesterday, I said, you know who's a savage? Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
He's a savage. Like, his mindset is always in savage mode.
There aren't enough savages in the NBA either.
It's true.
Guys with that mentality that care that much, that want to just rip out your throat every time they face you. All right, let's get some picks and props. I don't know what we're putting money on this weekend because we're not doing the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to take it easy on you.
Okay.
We're going to do one pick and a couple of props. As always, I know Danny doesn't like this. Have to mention the records. Raja went 3-1 last week. Now 8-8-1 on the season. Danny trying to catch up. 11-14-1.
Again.
And thank God.
Let's reiterate, though, what was my lock of the week?
The Eagles.
The Eagles at home playing. So if you had done the million-dollar bet, the one let it ride, we'd still be winning.
I finally lose as I fade you guys, and thank God, because you guys both went the Eagles, and that obviously hit. So thank you for that. A huge bet was made in Vegas, multi-million dollars on the Eagles. So that's where the money is so far. The Super Bowl line currently at Pats -5. We're keeping an eye on that. A huge addition of picks and props in our Super Bowl preview on next Friday's show. Danny, we are doing Pro Bowl. And we're not going to do the line. I don't care. NFC is favored by 3 against the AFC. But the over-under, I think, is a little bit intriguing. That's set at 71 right now.
Ooh.
And normally high-scoring, as we see across all sports. But last year, the score was oddly 20-13. So the over-under this year, 71, what you got?
I forgot about that, how bad. The game is always atrocious. I can't stand the Pro Bowl. I think the NFL should eliminate it. Like, it's one of those ones where it's so different from the regular product, they should just do away with it. Because every fan knows that they don't want to tackle. They don't want
to
get hurt.
Right.
But I'm going to go over. You got to go over on this one. It is an offensive game. I think they're going to just spread it out and sling it all over the yard. So I'm going to go over.
As you know, I tend to fade one Danny Cannell. So I'm going to say under.
Not for that reason.
I think they're not going to be locked in offensively. I think they're going to be when you let down and you lose focus, I think it affects offense more than defense generally. And so I'll go under.
That's some of the best Pro Bowl analysis I've heard ever. So that's just the one pick we have this week. Again, huge addition of picks and props next week. The props here. So you never want to blame one player for a loss, but you kind of want to blame Kansas center Hannah Hitby with a name. Udoka.
Oh,
Azubuike?
No, Azubuike.
There you go for the Jayhawks loss.
Azubuike.
On
that's
Tuesday
off of memory.
To Oklahoma.
Sorry.
Azubuike missed six straight free throws as the Sooners intentionally fouled him in crunch time, which apparently gives fans the right to crash the KU dorm and offer free throw advice.
Oh, my God.
That also gives police the right to show up for that said fan who fleed. But Kansas plays again tomorrow. So over under 5.5 missed free throws for Azubuike on Saturday.
I'm saying over all the way because I think everybody's going to try this philosophy. I jumped in before he couldn't fade
me. Do you think
me.
Bill Self limits his minutes, though?
But he never got the advice.
Crunch time, maybe. Crunch
right.
time, maybe.
Right.
But he during the course of a game, no, you play him. But if it's tight, and it only matters if it's relatively tight down the stretch, if the other team's within striking distance, that's the only time they'll employ the hack of Azubuike.
Yeah. Did you ever get the shanks at the foul line? Like, the,
no.
like never. You
no.
never had an issue with it. You
no,
always just worked
solid. I wasn't a 90% free throw shooter either.
Right.
But I never got into like
79.9.
Yeah. I never got into like a I can't make these type of
right.
mode.
Never no. a mark,
Which is,
mark
in his fault. Face, I mean, he did not want to be on that
and
line.
That was ugly. He was shooting like left thumb was involved in the shot. Like, it was, that's ugly.
All right. Another prop. Tom versus Time.
Oh,
yes.
Snooze fest.
Part one released on Facebook the other day. We learned that he keeps his Deflategate. We know. Deflategate letter, and he gets these bizarre massages. My sense is that Danny has probably watched this or is going to watch.
Yes.
But the prop here, over under 10 total seconds that Hannah spends watching over the weekend on all social media combined.
So easy.
This is just like if it pops up on her Instagram, and she's just the littlest bit intrigued. Is she just putting on this front in the podcast room? Over under 10 seconds Hannah watches of Tom versus Time.
Under, bro. My girl Hannah is not messing
no.
with Tom Brady.
No, yeah. you guys are so wrong.
She is not getting down
you
with Thomas
so
Brady.
You are so wrong.
Uh-uh.
She's going to hate watch everything. She's going to watch every single one.
No,
so she has
I don't want
to
give him the views. You know what I would watch, though? Giselle.
Exactly. That's
but,
another reason you're going to watch. You will
no,
watch.
I'm not going to watch.
You will watch.
I'm deleting my Facebook, actually.
So you're not
because
tempted.
Of that. Sorry.
All right. Next one.
53-minute
well
mark.
Done, well done.
All right. If you vandalize it, we will do a pick and prop on it. Someone caused thousands of dollars of damage to the iconic Field of Dreams field in Dyersville, Iowa. Horrible stuff. The prop here, more iconic movie playing surface. The Field of Dreams field, minus 190, or the White Men Can't Jump courts
Ooh.
At plus 150.
think it's easy. I think it's the White Men. I think it's the Field of Dreams field. The whole movie was based around him building the stupid field.
Yeah, I don't understand what the minus 150 and like plus 150
I'm just
mean.
Putting something. That means it's the favorite, the Field of Dreams one.
Well, yeah, I think it's
Venice
I think it's
Beach.
Field of
Wasn't that where they were at when they can't jump?
Yeah.
So
they're awesome courts.
Been, yeah, they are, yeah.
They're dope courts.
There's a very distinct smell that's wafting around those courts as well. I was just out there, went for a jog, and I came back and was worried about a drug test. it's no-brainer. It's Field of Dreams. All right, let's do some five-star Q&A. It's Friday. Let's have some fun.
Woo-woo. Okay, so from DP Conway 17, he said, who was one former teammate that people would be surprised that you guys don't like? If you saw them in public, you would avoid eye contact and hope they didn't see you.
I love Raja pointing at me. Like, I have to answer this one. It's a good one. I get along with most people, I would like to think. I don't have a lot of...
There's no
enemies,
one you would avoid.
Enemies?
Like, I sometimes avoid eye contact with people just because I'm not in the mood.
Right.
Right? But, like, most of the time I would like to say hi. But, like, you know, you see someone in an airport.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe
got?
That person's here.
That's
Who is it?
That's different, though.
That's different.
Like, I could do
you
that
don't
to anybody.
Like, right.
But I don't have a teammate, honestly. Like, I'm being honest. I don't have a teammate that I don't like.
That is hard because it's teammate.
Yeah.
Competitor.
What about anyone else not teammate?
Lots of guys.
Yeah, there are a lot of dudes that I wouldn't spend 2 seconds. Like I don't
just
care.
Open
like,
it up.
I don't really care.
I don't think I have. If I can think of one while we're finishing this, I'll come up.
Yeah, I'll try two, but
have
I don't.
One either.
Yeah.
All right. From Tubbs 34, did you ever pay or get paid for a number?
No. I was never good enough, really, to have a say in my number when I was young. Like, I showed up to the Sixers, and Scotty Rego was the equipment guy in Philly. He may still be there. Shout out. Great dude. Hit him in Lump. But anyway, they just threw 11 in my locker, and that was what I wore. And then I wore 11 for a while, and then nobody wanted 19 when I got somewhere else. Everything else was taken, so I was like, I'll take 19. It's my birthday. And then no one ever wanted 19, so.
I was never good enough either but that didn't stop me because I actually did. So when I was 13, I was 12 in high school.
Right.
Loved Jim Kelly. His uniforms looked the same as our high school, blue and red. The Bills looked like it. When I got to Florida State, I wanted to wear 12, but we had Matt Fryer was there. It was a wide receiver. He wore 12. So I was like, all right, I was a big Marino fan. I was like, let me bump it up to 13. Mm-hmm. Loved 13. Got drafted by the Giants, got to wear 13. When I went to Atlanta, so this is my second NFL team, I wanted 13. And another quarterback had it, Tony Graziani, my boy.
Like Tony
we were tight. My man Tony Graziani. He's a good dude. Right. Played at Oregon.
Okay.
So he had 13. They gave me 7. So I actually had a jersey for the first passing camp, said 7. I hated it. It was a different look because of 2 digits.
Single
going to
digit,
1. I thought I looked weird. So I was in this negotiation with my boy Graz to try to get out of it. So I did end up giving him – How much do you think?
$5,000.
$10,000.
$10,000.
Ooh. $10,000 I paid him. So the way I rationalized it is I had a signing bonus to go with the Falcons. I'm like, I'm just going to subtract the 10 from that bonus, and it's there.
There you go.
But it was still one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
Yeah, I don't know that. I may have done it. It might, like, when I played, now it seems like trivial, but when I played, I might have done it had I needed to. I didn't.
All right, I'm going to take over for a quick second because our guy, Rob from ATL, one of our top two followers, has a question for Hannah, and he asks, one of my Twitter followers is a babe and keeps favoriting my tweets. Should I slide into those DMs?
Yes, but don't ask that question again. Just do it. Just do it. Don't say slide into those DMs. Just shoot your shot. Just send the message.
I have a follow-up question
for
Rob. If a girl's favoriting all his tweets, isn't that her like basically begging for him to slide into the DMs?
It's her saying she's interested.
Right.
I've done that move where I'll like a guy's Instagram photos. Like I'll like 4 of them
from 37 weeks ago.
Yeah. No. Seriously, I'll like a couple.
Yeah. Right. Just so it pops up.
Just so he sees it, and then he's like, "Oh, who's this girl? Oh, she's interested." That's worked.
There you go.
There you go.
So I say shoot your shot.
All right.
Come on, Rob. Get it done,
Go for
baby.
It, Rob. I support it. Okay, so
and
this
wear
one.
Wear that turtleneck while you're doing
it. Yes, wear the turtleneck. All right, so this one's for Danny and Raja. It says, give me one good pickup line. Otherwise, I'm going with, hey, I'm going to Kroger. You want anything? This is still from Rob from ATL.
I don't have any pickup lines. I was never the pickup line guy. But I'll tell you who is. This is real talk. My godson, his name's Aiden Durkak. He's 10 years old, lives in Colonia, New Jersey. Real talk. This kid's got the nicest like pickup lines you'll ever – like it's real talk.
What?
And
like,
he shoots at – like I don't know because I don't really use them. But his dad
it's
will send me –
just the confidence.
But listen, I went to a game when I was up there for like the Christmas break. He's 10. I mean, he shoots shots at like 14, 15-year-olds. Like he is – he's a tough little dude, man. Swag off the charts.
Here's the thing. I think Hannah hit it on the head. You have to be confident.
Yeah.
I think pickup lines are cheesy, and I think most girls will see through them. If you try the pickup line route, it better be good or you get shot down in a hurry.
With a bit of humor?
I think it better be funny.
Yeah,
because if you miss on a pickup line, you're going to look like a tool.
A real jack.
I say just go up and start a conversation. Like, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, what's going on?
Right.
Right.
You know, like just,
oh, hey, what are you drinking? Or hey, like anything.
Can I buy you a drink?
Right.
Like something.
Yeah.
You can tell instantly if she's either interested or not. If she says no, then be like, all right, no big deal.
Right.
Like, go ahead. Enjoy your night.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Exactly.
Yeah, don't come up with something creative. Just be
don't.
Confident. It's all, no,
it,
well, no
if
don't.
If you do, it better be
just
good.
Just be normal. Right. It better be really good.
Right.
It's got to be that swaggy. Okay. Another one from Jared Wirtz. If all four of you had to go back in time and attend another college, what colleges would each of you choose? Oh. Everyone must pick one. What? Everyone must pick one other.
Other than the one that they went to.
Sorry. And then he says, because I see Danny saying he would never go to another school other than FSU. Jared Wirtz, 2016 PSU alum. Shout out to Debo.
Nice. Penn State love there. I have thought about this question a lot because I always wondered what would have happened if I went somewhere else.
Yep.
And now that I've been able to travel and see different campuses and I'm more mature at this stage of my life, I would say Stanford.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Palo Alto's incredible. And I got recruited by Stanford, but there was no way I was going to go from an East Coast kid in South Florida all the way to Northern California to go to school.
Sure.
I was scared of that. I thought the girls weren't very attractive. So you can see my priorities right there were really out of whack. Like, but if you go to Stanford, it's kind of cool. Like, people look at you differently.
Right.
And I think you're
What would you say 20 years ago? Like, after you graduated Florida State, right after?
I love Florida State. Like, I would have said, I'll go back to Florida State. You know, right. Like, I wouldn't have.
But you're saying Stanford now, like, if this question was posed to you.
If I knew what I knew, like, now, yeah, like, as an mature adult, like, what really matters. Because Florida State was great football, great scenery. It was a ton of fun, and it's a good degree, but there's a slight difference in a Florida State degree and a Stanford degree.
I don't have that perspective yet, so I'm going to answer Arizona State.
ASU.
That would be solid.
That's
that
me.
Would be a solid choice. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I'd have probably went to, like,
Duke. Would you have gone to Duke?
Yeah, but I wasn't good enough. But like, if you gave me my choice, I wanted to go to Georgetown really, really badly. That was my dream school. I love John Thompson and the Hoyas, like – given the opportunity, it would have been a no-brainer for me.
Hannah, would you go back to Cuse?
I loved Syracuse. I went to Syracuse and UNF. If I could go back, I wouldn't go to UNF. I would just stay at Syracuse the whole time. But if I really were to go all the way back, I think I would go. I'd want to go to, like, NYU or something. Like, I just want to go, like, full-blown city life.
Yeah.
Go right into, like, the journalism career. Don't waste any time at, like, any of the parties in college. Like, I would just not waste my time.
No, see, I don't think you should go back and say don't have any fun.
No, I just would, like, I wish I got, like, a quicker start into, like, career other than messing around in college, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's very mature of you.
College is fun, but I look back and I'm not like, college was the best time of my life. It wasn't at all. It was like a waste of time.
I have so much respect for dudes, and this is specifically to football players, who go with their priorities right. Like, they go and they graduate in 3 years and they mm-hmm. get done. They get their master's and, you know, they kind of limit their fun a little bit. They don't go crazy. That's what I did. All right. Thanks for the questions. Those are some good ones today. I like those.
Hey, wait, real
a little
quick.
Deeper. Yeah.
You, Raja, early in the show, you said that you got kicked out of a high school football game or a high school basketball game last night.
How did we bury the lead?
I did.
You got to tell us real quick.
I just told a ref that they shouldn't give him his game check, and he didn't like it. So they kicked me out.
Well, you don't even have a kid in high school.
No, I helped coach. I helped my buddy coach the team. So now I'm suspended for the next game.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Does this make local news?
I didn't flip out. Like, I didn't flip out and make a scene.
Clotheslining Kobe Bryant, suspended for kicking Andrea Bargnani.
In the balls.
No, but high school refs are out of control because and I helped out at my high school in a spring football game.
Yeah,
spring football game. And I was, like, just trying to work the official a little bit, like, having some fun. I'm like, hey, you know, that was a PI. Yeah. And he barked at me right away. He's like, one more word, you're out of here.
No, these guys were ridiculous.
They don't mess around.
They don't. Yeah. This guy. So he actually gave a foul real quick. He gave a foul to the wrong kid. He called it on a kid on the other side of the court and gave it to the player that was just across the court because they kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
And it was the kid's fifth foul. I just was like, bro, you can't do that. He wanted no part of it.
All right. Ooh. So we'll have to follow Raja's coaching adventures throughout the year and see how many times he gets kicked out. All right. Thanks for checking us out. That's Off the Bench. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter @Cannell and Bell. Make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a 5-star review on the iTunes page.
Yes, we love your questions.
Yeah, they're getting really good. Leave them under our 5-star review. We'll get to them every Friday with our 5-star Q&A. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Enjoy that Pro Bowl.